Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's the happy birthday of the Illuminati. This is Watch Your Roast on the birthday of the Illuminati. Mayday, May 1st, 2013. And this is my program Here, There, and Everywhere, where we talk about the lunatic fringe. Things that you don't want to talk about, least of all know about, but absolutely need to know. And I'm glad to be with you this morning. God bless you who are listening live and those who listen in archive, because you rock. You know, I have a little business in my community, and I've been in business here for probably close to 10 years, and I know quite a few people. I know some of the Galactic Federation of Lies. I know some people that, I know people that follow the Mormon religion. I follow people that, or I know people that follow just about every doggone religion known to whoever knows what. But we are the ones that listen and hear the God, Creator God's voice. And all of those that don't hear that voice, they're the lost tears. They can hoo-hoo-hoo all they want, and they're not going to get anywhere. Anyway, these people, I try to plant little seeds of hope in them, lead them, guide them, direct them in a path that is on concrete ground and not on sand. And why do I do what I do every day here on this live on air program, inviting each and every one of you, if you would be interested at all, in calling my guest call in line 347-945-6170. We do it in the work, the Lord Creator God, because he told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given unto you. And he said, don't pursue that on earth which can be robbed from you by moth, by rust, and by thief. Because it's the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and take away your joy in the hour, in this hour. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank ye, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed goodly in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and whom the Son reveals to him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are those who have eyes to see and ears to hear these things. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which you are about to see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you are about to hear but have not heard them. Yes, indeed. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray, disciples, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, forgive us our sins. Do you pray every day? Forgive us our sins. Forgive everyone that sinned against us. Deliver us from the evil one. Then you'll have a friend in Jesus. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. Well, the wisdom, therefore also said the wisdom of God. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Woe on you, scribes and Pharisees! You appear like a grave to me, clean on the outside, but inside you're filthy. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. It shall be required of this generation. Is this the generation of the fig tree where all the vipers come out? Blessed are those servants whom, when the Lord comes, he finds them watching and waiting for him. And if he shall come in the second watch or the third watch, he still finds them. Blessed are those servants, because he comes in an hour you thinketh not. Who then is faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, and to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds him so doing. So, son of man, whoever shall speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven to him. But unto him who blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto synagogues, and when they bring you in front of magistrates, and when they bring you before powers, from high places, from other realms, from dark dominions, from down below and up above, they stand accusing the brethren day and night before the king, your great counselor. Take ye no thought how or what thing you should answer, or what you should say. In that day of your trial before the holy court, do I know you're going to have a trial? Well, I'm pretty sure you are, because in second chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that a certain church will be put in a trial for 10 days, and I hope to be a part of that church. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what to say in that day of your trial. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But be ye therefore ready. Blessed is the servant who is waiting in that hour. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Yes. Do you not discern this time? You discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern the fig tree generation? How can we not understand that the truth is rightly divided in the letter of love? And unless you take time to learn how to read it and discern it, you're going to be deceived. I want to digress from the word here in my lesson to talk about some news I read. I'm going to kind of just take a break here for a second. So heavy-hearted about this thing I read about a woman, a mother. Now, I taught yesterday about a bird, a certain bird that laid their eggs out in the doggone field and let others trample upon it. And I read about a woman, I believe it was in Chile, who strapped her child to a board, it kept its mouth closed, and in a fire tossed it with a group of other people. Now, if that is not sacrificing your child, throwing your child into the fires of Moloch, which we have been told in the Word of God, do not allow your children to be passed through the fires of Moloch. Excuse me. And here we have, just like the Holy Scripture says, mothers that no longer care what happens to their own children. How can we deal with that? I can't deal with it. I can't wrap my brain around it. I can't wrap my brain around our government and our leaders going into a grove, the Bohemian Grove, and even if they did not literally sacrifice a human person to Moloch, that 40-foot owl they stand in their stupid little outfits, worshiping Baphomet, the Satan. It's here. And we are still here. We're not going anywhere. Now, you want to talk about where the Holy Spirit lives, where your change is, where your rapture is. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. The Lord Creator God said to you, write my name in the tablet of your heart, in the tablet of your mind, the doorpost of your heart, and in your hands, in your work, in your thoughts. Everything you do, each and every day. Is the process that's taking place, take place in your mind? In your heart, in your hands? Do you understand that this is a manifestation in your whole being, in your mental beliefs? Just as an imagination of being a soldier in a different place, in a different time, that you would be changed and all the natural terms that apply to this age would not apply to you because you're set apart. This change has taken place in your heart, in your mind, and this process can be observed. We're not dealing with a simple phenomenon here. There's very little to be seen physically. What we believe is that we become the mirror image of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether or not it manifests itself physically per se, because it's had a total complete change in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. Fake it till you make it, so to speak. Anyway, it's not our minds that should be in control. It's the mind of Jesus Christ in us. Want to talk to me about the mind of Jesus Christ? Give me a call. This is Watcher Ruth. My guest call in line is 347-345-5170. You know, Lord Creator told us that the human mind is subject to vain imaginations of high things. He warned us in the scripture about it. He told us how to deal with them in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, and told us to cast down these vain imaginations, these reasonings and assumptions that are contrary to God's word, just as soon as we become aware of them. We have to cast them out and not apply them, because they are not of sound doctrine. They have no evidence. You have to have sound scriptural evidence to produce truth. At least 2 witnesses. You know, vain men cause vain traditions, teachings and doctrines that stop us in our tracks. They're not the truth of God's word. Mark 7:13 says, making the word of God a non-effect through your traditions, man. Vain traditions. And God spoke himself about the Pharisees and the scribes, about their teachings and their doctrines. It's no different today. They still hold true to those doctrines and traditions. They pass them down through that bloodline we talk about so frequently, family. You know, they've successfully blinded the world to the truth. This Ephesians, principalities and powers from dark places, they're in control now. You know, the doctrines of these cults, we're familiar with them. And we know how hard it is to understand them. People think we're crazy. Yeah, they adhere to blind doctrines of men, doctrines of these elders, of secret societies, hands behind the secret screens. These poor people are so misled. And the ones that are leading them, holding the secrets, so you learned elders in Zion and thusly, you know, they're leading the blind people. 2 Timothy 3:7 says they're these people that walk behind them, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. These followers are no different than any of us, really. They're vulnerable to deception. You know, they think that they're looking at authorities. They look at these people like they're preachers and pastors, just like these peers that are sitting in our churches that think they're listening to the truth of God, and what they're listening to is some watered-down doctrine that doesn't even come close to the Word of God. You know, when you start changing the Word of God in the NIV and all these newer words, and Ezekiel 13 doesn't even read anything like the King James. I can tell you that. I've read them. But we have to be clearer that we're in these days, we're going to be subject to all the false teachings. And we know Paul himself told us that we will be deceived and blinded by the traditions of fathers, Galatians 1:14, the religious spirits, the very enemy that Paul had the courage to point out these spirits. You know, Saul called forward a spirit when God had taken the blessing away from Saul, because he had been told to wait for the prophet to come back. And what did he do? No, he went forward in battle. He didn't wait for God to speak to him. And who did he call forward? Called the witch of Endor forward? Wow. We want to have unfruitful works of evil we want to have no part with. This enemy is very, very, very diligently been battling all the Christians, all of our lives battling us, and they think they're going to win. But we have to establish biblical truths in everything that we do. Do we not, family? We have to establish biblical truths that conform to the true Word of God, that can give us information, a good foundation. Excuse me. Jesus Christ provided us prophets who gave us a book, which is the letter. Excuse me. If you don't read it, you're not going to know what it says. Do you read it? I'm sorry. Well, because we need a good foundation, we need to know what we're facing as it was in the days of Noah. And this is what the scripture says: in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the final days. That's Luke 17:26-27. They did eat, they did drink, they did marry. They were given in marriage. Who are they? Who did the flood destroy? The tares. Matthew 13:37-42. He answered and said to them, "He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one." Doris, watch your roof. That's not what it says, is it? What do you mean? The children of the wicked one. The field is the world, the good seed, or the children of the kingdom, the good seed. Wonder if that's the seed of David. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Interesting. The tares are gathered and burned in the fire, and so shall it be in the end of this world. The fig tree generation. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. When it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down. They gathered the good into the vessel, and then they cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Then they shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Huh. Interesting. The wicked will be severed from among the just, but they that trust in the Lord shall trust and be mounted up as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. But in Psalm 37:9, it says, evildoers will be cut off. Just as it does in Matthew 13, verse 50. They shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Verse 10 says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But in verse 11 it says, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight in themselves in the abundance of peace. Proverbs 10:30 says, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself says in John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shalt keepest them from evil. Would we deny these scriptures to teach an invisible coming? Have we divided the word of God correctly? From Mark 13:8 through 22, Jesus describes the period of tribulation that affects even the elect. Or the Christians, the believers, the elect are here to witness the end of the reign of the Antichrist, where he stands in the temple and declares himself God. The abomination of desolation in verse 14. After that period which Jesus calls tribulation, the sun and the moon were darkened, and the stars of heaven fall. Verse 24 says the period of tribulation, which equates to the same in Strong's Concordance as sorrows, in verse 8, does not end until Jesus returns in verse 26. It's only then, after the tribulation, that Jesus comes for his elect that are still in the earth in verse 27. Jesus' return and the end of the world is one event, not two, because verse 32 states it's in that day. And in fact, we have a second witness in the scripture of Matthew 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall come, and when shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world be? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, shall deceive many, and ye shall hear war, rumor of war. Don't be troubled, for these things have to come to pass. Family, these things must come to pass. There shall be great tribulation, as was never since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. So take faith. Be at peace. You dwell in the family in the spirit of the Lord. You know what the truth is. You've rightly divided the word of God. Be at peace. Live in faith. Look forward to the day your redemption draws nigh. Don't let the world take away your joy. This is Watcher Ruth. Come talk to me tomorrow. I hope someone calls me one of these days. Thank you, family.